morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see you. You're welcome, you're wanted, you're needed. Isn't that good?
Yes.
And I, through all that pollen, I see some pretty smiles this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to come and to worship Him. Before we begin, let's have a moment of silence. Sister Shirley Griffin passed away yesterday afternoon. And we're going to miss her. But she's gone on to glory now. Be with the Lord. So let's have a moment of silence for her and her family. So you see the announcements that are listed in Mondays 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. Coming up Tuesday, April the 1st, and Thursday, April the 3rd, are two planning meetings there at 6:30. This is for the Howell Benefit meeting in the old Pink Hill Cafeteria. You want to bring us up to speed? All right. Beverly's ready this morning.
Anyone that has volunteered to make a cake, if y'all can deliver it that Thursday night, April 3rd, at the Opico Cafeteria at 6:30 or after, we'll be there. Or if you prefer to get up and bring it Friday morning, 7, you can do it that morning. If you want to get up. And we are asking the volunteers to be there at 7, 7:30 at the latest, because we want to start making blades at 8. And please come and purchase the blade. If you don't
come out
volunteer, we still would love for you to come purchase the blade.
If you don't volunteer, you got to purchase two. Barbecue, chicken, slaw and potatoes, and hush puppies.
There will be a sale site here in Deep Run at the fire department.
All right.
If you're just looking to purchase a blade and don't want to drive all the way to Pink Hill.
Okie doke. That is April the 4th. Put that on your calendar. Sunday, April the 6th at 5 p.m., the official board will meet. Sunday, April the 6th at 6 p.m. will be a pre-Easter service.
No, did you say 6?
6.
Okay, yes. We changed that, so don't
what?
Get confused. It's
6
o'clock.
6. We're going right by what it says. 6, right?
I haven't seen it.
6. Okay. 6. You know what 6 means?
6.
6. All right, April 13th, quarterly business meeting at 5.
Excuse me, it's April the 13th at 6 o'clock. I knew something sounded wrong. It's the same day as the quarterly meeting.
Now.
Sorry, April 13th at 6 o'clock.
You made that correction, everyone. All right. Any other announcements? I got some good news. Today you're the choir, so turn to 303, stand together, and let's sing the call to worship. Worthy of worship. Worthy of the Lamb, I'm sorry. Worthy of the Lamb.
Thank you.
your bulletin, let's read together the response of reading. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, all who call on Him in truth.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.
Lord, we praise and worship You today.
Father, we thank You for this time we can come together and just worship the name of Jesus, that name that is above all names. And to remember what You've done for us, that we could not do for ourselves. You've abundantly pardoned us of all of our sins. Our hearts are filled with praise and worship to You today for that great blessing that's been brought about by Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we enter this season where we celebrate His death and resurrection, we just pray that Your Spirit would just fill us with Your presence. And today that we can worship You in spirit and in truth, in Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Turn to 347. We're going to sing the Mark verses. That's 1, 2, and 4. Tony has a scripture reading. Morning, family.
Morning.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 32. Psalm 32. This is the NIV version. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing in all you who are upright in heart. New Testament reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5, 16 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one is gone, the new one is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Continue to worship as we pray. Remind us of the needs on prayer concerns on the back of the bullets and remember those this week as you pray. Any other names we need to call this morning?
Linda Thompson called me this morning. Her son Ford has been taken to the hospital from the nursing home. He has pneumonia and several other issues.
Okay. Linda Thompson's son Ford.
Davis,
okay. Any others?
Johnny Peniel family, his dad died this week, 100 years old.
Okay, Johnny Peniel.
Johnny Peniel.
Okay, family. All right, any others? All right, remember our nation, leaders of the world, and all those in authority locally. Certainly need the guidance of the Lord. Remember our churches, fellow believers throughout the world, especially those under severe persecution. Be thankful for one another and the blessings of God. Let's take action as we pray. Take a hymn book, turn to 344, stand as we sing, Grace Greater Than All Our Sins, verses 1, 2, and 4, 344.
Oh. gather together in awe and humbleness and ask you to bless these offerings we give back to you to further your kingdom here on this earth. Thank you for everything you do for us every minute, every second of every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. May be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Our scripture text today is 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Tony read this. It's a scripture from the lectionary reading today. So we're going to look at it. Our thought is no longer a fugitive. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about our position in Christ Jesus. There was a lady, Sarah Jane Olson, that was born Kathleen Salai during the post-World War II baby boom. In the 60s, she moved to the West Coast to attend college and pursue a career in acting and eventually became involved in the radical politics of the Symbionese Liberation Army, where she participated in various bank robbings and acts of violence, including murder. Some of y'all may remember that story. She was a real piece of work. After she was indicted for her crimes, before she could be arrested, she went underground, fled to Minnesota. She adopted an alias and lived as a fugitive for more than 20 years. And during this time, she married a doctor. She raised a family. She became active in her community and just lived a life of affluence. And then her past, her true identity, caught up with her. And in 1999, she was arrested and ultimately sent to prison. I don't know how it was for Miss Olson during those years. Did she feel like a phony every day of her life? Did she live in constant fear of being found out? Did she experience relentless paranoia because she knew she was not who she claimed to be? And though her story is somewhat extreme, there are many who live their lives in a similar fashion. They're not fugitives from justice, but they're fugitives from themselves, from the sins of their past, from their failures, their hurts, and the pain they've endured, and the shame they've experienced. And on the surface, they may seem to be living a normal life, even a charm life. But underneath it all, they know they're just one slip up away from breaking the facade and being exposed for who they really are. Church, the truth is we all have an image of ourselves. An image that we try to protect or project on ourselves. An image that maybe we allow others to project on us. Sometimes the image is accurate and sometimes it's not. Today I want you to see that it's not who you think you are or who others think you are that matters most. Who you are, who you really are, is determined by what God says about you. We look at this passage this morning, this foundational to our understanding of who we are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. And there are three foundational characteristics found in the life of those who believe in Christ. And this life in Christ that God wants us to see, these three things I believe we need to understand. These are true whether or not you feel it. They're true whether or not you even recognize it. And the good news this morning is you are who God says you are, and He will help you become who He made you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. First of all, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God wants you to see that you're a new creation in Christ. Now, we talked about this some a few weeks back in talking about the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand this. When we come to Christ and we believe in Christ, becoming a Christian is not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about making a New Year's resolution to be able to keep it for 3 weeks. Becoming a believer in Jesus Christ is about being given a new life. You're not upgrading the old software. It's a whole new installation. It's a whole new operating system given by God Himself. There's something that book publishers or music publishers have known for more than a century. If you release a book or an album with a new cover, there's likely to be a surge in sales, especially if the new cover is more attractive than the old one. The text between the cover hasn't changed, the music hasn't changed, but the new cover makes it new. You also see this with new and improved products. I know y'all never bought any of those, but it often means just no more than just new and improved packaging. Same old product, just a new improved package. Christianity is the exact opposite. It changes you on the inside. It makes you brand new through and through. Salvation is not a tune-up of the old self. It's a whole new operating system, a whole new book with a whole new story. Amen? Before Christ, God says you were dead in your sins. You were dead spiritually. You lived according to the flesh. You made fleshly decisions. You were in love with the things of this world. Dead, no life. But when you received Him as your Lord and Savior, you were made totally new in Him. Paul said this in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." When you accept Jesus Christ, a new person, a new creation takes up residence inside of you. Jesus referred to this in John 3:6 as being born of the Spirit. This person is new in you. And you may look the same on the outside. You may even sound the same at times. And you may even struggle with some of that old stuff that you were supposed to have buried. But now in Christ you've been made new, which means the direction of your life has changed. Your potential has changed. Your reason for being has changed. Your eternal home has changed. Your position has changed. You're now in Christ. You're now his new creation. Hallelujah and glory to God. Musician, songwriter Chuck Garrard got saved in the 60s out of the counterculture. And back then there were many in the church who just couldn't come to terms with the idea that a long-haired hippie could really be a Christian. He sang one evening at a church, and afterward a lady came to him and said, "I'm so glad that God cleaned you up on the outside. Now I'm praying he cleaned you up on the inside. Now I'm praying he's going to clean you up on the outside." Church, we can't make the mistake of thinking that salvation is merely a whitewashing of our exterior. No, salvation is an inside job. Paul reminds us. In verses 16 to 17, I'm going to read this from the Message. It says, "We don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we all got it wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. What we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. The new life emerges. Just look at it. Just look at it. Amen. Amen. A totally new creation in Christ Jesus. Glory to God." See, this leads us to the second foundational characteristic of your life in Christ that we need to understand is, number two, is you've been reconciled to a relationship with God. You know, we're pretty good at being unreconciled, aren't we? So this simply means that you've been made right with God. Anybody ever tried to reconcile your bank account? It don't come out right. You usually have a windfall or a shortfall. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, all right. So when we try to reconcile ourselves with God, we always come up on the short end, huh? And Paul understood that, and God understands that. And in Christ, we have been reconciled to our relationship with God. We've been made right with God. And look, here's the good thing. It's not of our own doing, but of his doing. Paul said in verse 18 and 19, "All this is from God." You know what all means, don't you? Who would ever thought of such a thing? "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the exact opposite of how we operate, isn't it? We want to count up everybody's faults, don't we? And we're hoping they have more faults than we do. That way, if we get in a little tight, we can always remind them, right, that we're a little better than they are, right? And we can think we're a little better than they are. But God's not thinking that way. When he, in his reconciling and in his counting, he says he's reconciled, and in Christ God was reconciled to not counting their trespasses against them. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and now we have been made alive. He canceled the debt that stood against us. And there's a lot of people today I'm reading that have been to college and they want the government to cancel their debt. But you know, our politicians, they want to do that. You know, that's good for votes, right? But come to find out, we're broke. We're trillions of dollars in debt. We can't even pay our bill, much less somebody else's. And I think they're having problems with that. But, you know, they claim they went to school, and when they come out, they weren't educated enough to know that we're going to have to pay the bill. It's a strange story, you know. But nevertheless, it's out there. But God don't have that problem. When God wants to cancel a debt, he's got the means to do it. Now, I realize there's some who insist that they don't owe a debt. That they've never done anything that requires forgiveness. I've heard people say that. I've heard supposedly educated people say that, people's in big leadership positions. I don't need a God. I don't need a God to forgive me. I don't need that. But when you look around, you can ask their ex about that, or ask their kids about it, or their friends, or their coworkers, or their neighbors. And you know, the truth is, we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned against a holy and righteous God. We've all sinned against one another. And that may be worse than sinning against God, because God loves his children. Amen. And you know what? It's really impossible for us to redeem ourselves. Our debt's greater than the national debt. And it's beyond impossible for us to fix our fallen nature. And regardless of the image that we may have tried to project to the world around us, the fact is that without Christ, we're all fugitives. Like Sarah Jane Olson, we may be able to fool those around us, but when we look deep into ourselves and we see ourselves as God sees us, we know I can't escape who I am. I owe a debt, and I don't have the means to pay it. But for this reason, the scripture said Jesus took your place. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Here's what I'm saying. You may have been made right with God. You have been made right with God. All the mercy you need, all the salvation you need, all the forgiveness you need, all the grace you need has been poured out upon you. Paul says in 1:8 of Ephesians that God has lavished it upon us. He just didn't put a drop or two. He's lavished it. We didn't deserve it, but it was given to us anyway. It was lavished upon us. We didn't earn it, but we've been given the opportunity to receive it. God's love knows no limit. His mercy never ends. The Lamentations reminds us of that. It's new every morning. And this means every day that we wake up, we can say, today, I may not know nothing else, but I can know I'm right with God. Amen? Not because I'm good, but because God is good. And I've been made right with God through Jesus Christ because of God's lavished goodness and mercy. In the past, you may have been a fugitive from justice. A fugitive from the past. But in Christ, you've been reconciled to his sacrificial death on the cross. The debt's been settled. The price has been paid. All wrongs have been settled. And now you have peace with God. Verse 21, Paul said, for our sake he made himself to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You ever thought, I'll never be good enough for God to use me? You ever thought, I'll never be good enough to make up for all the wrong I've done? God said, I've paid that debt. Say, thank you, Lord. God said, you're in a right relationship with me. Thank you, God. That's our position in Christ Jesus. The third foundational characteristic of the Christian life is, number three, you play a vital role in the purpose of God. Why would God go out of his way to reconcile and settle my sin? It's kind of strange, isn't it? Especially since we've sinned against him. Especially since we don't really want him to be a major player in the game, you know. Why would God do such a thing? Verse 18, Paul said that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19, he says that God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What is he talking about here? He's talking about his ministry and his message. The message of reconciliation. He's talking about you and me as well. This is our work. It's our ministry. It's our message. To let those around us know that God is ready to be in a right relationship with them, no matter what may have happened in the past. There's hope in Christ Jesus. He used the term ambassador. We all know what an ambassador is, don't we? Who? What? An ambassador is someone who is sent to live in a foreign land to represent their home country, their home government. And in that context, they speak for the leadership of their homeland. It's a powerful word, isn't it? God is saying to you and me, I want the world to know about me and about my son Jesus Christ. And I want them to hear about love and mercy and grace and reconciliation and redemption and forgiveness. And I want you to take this message to them. I want you to be my representative, my ambassador. You know, in many ways, we're like strangers in a strange land. We're like visitors on foreign soil. If you believe in Christ Jesus, this world's not our home. Even if we live to be an old man or an old lady, we'll spend very little time here compared to eternity in our eternal home. In reality, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Child of God, our citizenship is in heaven. But while we're here, we're God's ambassador. We've been given a part to play in his eternal plan. And that's why he saved us and gave us the position that he's given us. He has invited us to represent him, to speak on his behalf, so that we all may know that there is a God who loves those who are separated. And who gave his life for them. We live in a dark, increasingly non-Christian world. We live in uncertain times. But in the midst of this, we're called to be the light in the midst of this darkness. And God is calling us to shine. Jesus said, don't put your light under a bucket. Let it shine. When you open your eyes each morning, not only can you say, today I'm right with God, you can also say, I have a position to fill. I have a role to play. I have a job to do. Today, through my words, my actions, and my attitude, I'm representing Christ Jesus. I'm his ambassador. Because that's what he's made us to be. This is who we really are. You may feel like a fugitive, trying to hide from a darkened past. Others may even try to put a label on you. But today I want you to remember what God has said about you, because this is who you really are. That person that used to go by your name in the past is no longer there. In Christ, you've been made into a new creation. Jesus called it being born again, born from above, born in the Spirit. That's who you are. This is a time of year for bumblebees or bumblebores. Anybody seen any of those? You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? All right. All the laws of physics say that a bumblebee can't fly. Its body's too big for its wings. Technically, it has to have a larger wingspan. And for years, experts in aerodynamics have studied the bumblebee, and their conclusion is this: it cannot fly. And they've stuck a label on it, grounded. You walk everywhere you got to go, bumblebee, because you can't fly. The only problem is the bumblebee cannot understand what the experts were saying. Therefore, the label wouldn't stick. Now, against all the odds of aerodynamics, and in spite of what all the experts have said, the bumblebee flies wherever it wants to with accuracy and speed. That little thing's quick, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know why the bumblebee can fly? Because God told it to fly. God is not limited to the laws of nature. There's a message here, church. If you will remove the wrong labels from your life, you'll be amazed at how far your wings can carry you. Some of you today are not flying. It's not because you weren't created to, but it's because someone has put a label on you that you believed. Now it's become a stronghold in your thinking. And it's limiting you to what God wants to do in your life. God did not do this. And remember, Jesus called Satan a liar and the father of lies. Don't believe him. Today I'm asking you to believe the label that God has put on your life. And to remove any old labels that you have and just relabel yourself and your future with what God says about you. Our position is we're a new creation. And through Christ, we've made a right relationship with God. We have a great role to play in His kingdom. We're His ambassadors. And God has promised to empower us to put aside our past and become the person He's created us to be. And church, we need to learn to see ourselves that way because that's how God sees us. We need this. The church needs this. Our culture needs this. And it begins with knowing who we are. God's creation. God's friend. God's ambassador. God's very own. This is our position in Christ. You are no longer a fugitive. So, be like the bee. Be like the bee. Accept, receive, and live the label that God has placed on you. Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth that you've imparted to us. Help us to receive your word, and may it move us in the direction you would have us to go, and help us to be who you've created us to be. In Christ's name, amen. Stand and turn our closing hymn, 630, hymn number 630, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Sing the first and the third verse.
Oh.
again, we thank you for being coming and being a part of worship service today. Remember those needs in prayer this week. Also, over in the educational building, the chapel area, on the table are some dishes. Those of you may have cooked some meal last week. I'll go and get those. Just remember the benefit that's coming up. Pray for the benefit. And if you can help, and you hadn't told Beverage, you can help. Let Beverage know that you can help. We're going to need a lot of hands, a lot of help that day. The correction on the pre-Easter service is the 13th, not the 6th, okay, in the bulletin. Any other? Anything else?
Joe, if anybody wants to put flowers in the church for Easter, let me know.
All right. Miss Pat, let her know if you want to put flowers in the church for Easter. Anything else? All right. Michael Gray, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.